So picture this. You sit down, you open up your favorite AI tool, and you ask it a highly specific question for your job.
Right, expecting a total stroke of genius.
Exactly. But instead, it just confidently spits back absolute garbage. And you're sitting there wondering, why does a machine that can, pass the bar exam suddenly act like a clueless intern who's just making things up?
Yeah, the hallucinating intern, it's a classic problem.
It really is. So today we are doing a deep dive into a March 2026 article by Tony Burlinson. It's from amusing.blog and it's titled Retrieval Pipelines. And our mission here is to figure out why those specific breakdowns happen and, more importantly, how the smartest companies are actually fixing them.
And fixing them by focusing on the really unglamorous plumbing behind the scenes, right?
Exactly, the plumbing. Because, I mean, it makes me think of enterprise AI adoption right now as being like someone buying a million-dollar sports car. Everyone is just obsessed with the shiny paint job and the massive engine, which, is the AI model itself.
Right, the front end.
Yeah, but no one is looking at the fuel lines. If the fuel, which in this case is your company's real-time, highly specific data, if that can't get to the engine efficiently, your million-dollar car is going to just sputter and stall the second you hit the highway.
That is, honestly, that's a perfect analogy because the plumbing really is the secret sauce here. I mean, we spend so much time marveling at the conversational abilities of large language models or LLMs, but we completely ignore their fundamental limitation.
Which is that they're basically frozen in time, right?
Yes, exactly. When an AI model is pre-trained, its knowledge stops at a certain date. It might have ingested, half the internet up to 2024 or
Which
2025.
is impressive.
Oh, totally impressive. But it knows absolutely nothing about a market shift that happened yesterday or, a private strategy meeting your team just had this morning.
Right. So to generate answers that are actually accurate for your specific business, it needs a lifeline to the outside world.
Exactly. It needs a mechanism to feed it fresh facts. And that lifeline is the retrieval pipeline.
Okay, so let's unpack this. I really want to dig into the mechanics of that lifeline because retrieval pipeline sounds, I don't know, incredibly industrial. I want to know how the sausage is actually made here.
Sure, yeah. Let's get into it.
Because in the past, I've heard this process compared to a hyper-efficient librarian.
Like,
You ask a question, and this librarian instantly sprints into the archives, grabs the exact reference book you need, flips to the right page, and then just hands it to the AI before it even starts talking.
I mean, it's a helpful starting point for understanding the speed of it, for sure.
But Burlinson says that's not really how it works, right?
Right, it completely fails to capture the underlying mechanism. A retrieval pipeline doesn't just look for keywords in a filing cabinet like a librarian would. The very first thing it does is transform your raw company data into what are called embeddings.
Embeddings. Okay, what exactly are
So
those?
this is where the magic happens. Embeddings basically convert text, concepts, and relationships into mathematical representations.
Wait, math. Let's visualize that. If we aren't storing paragraphs of text, how do you actually store the math of a concept?
Okay, so imagine a giant multi-dimensional map, a 3D space, but with thousands of dimensions.
Okay, thousands of dimensions. Got it.
The pipeline takes every document, every sentence you have, and assigns it physical coordinates on that map based entirely on its meaning.
Oh, wow. So meaning dictates location.
Exactly. Because of this, concepts that are related end up clustered physically close together. Like, the coordinates for the word king and the word queen will be right near each other, but the coordinates for carburetor will be, miles away.
So when I type a prompt into the AI, it's not doing a traditional keyword search at all. It's actually doing geometry.
Yes, that is the perfect way to phrase it. It is doing geometry. You enter a prompt, the pipeline converts your question into a mathematical coordinate, and then it goes into a specialized storage system.
Which is the vector database.
Yeah, right, the vector database. It holds all that map data. And the system simply calculates the physical distance between the math of your question and the math of your data.
That is wild.
It really is. It grabs the closest conceptual neighbors, pulls that actual text, and then injects it into the AI model right at the exact moment of generation.
So the model gets my prompt plus the exact contextual evidence it needs in literally the same millisecond.
Precisely. And this entire process, this is the foundation of a framework called RAG. RAG, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Meaning you are augmenting or, improving the generation by retrieving facts.
Exactly. And Burlinson's ultimate takeaway here is that AI platforms are only as good as their retrieval pipelines, period.
Okay, but wait, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Let me challenge that premise.
Go for it.
Because compute costs are plummeting, right? Every single year it gets cheaper. So why would a company go through the massive headache of building this complex, multidimensional geometric pipeline when they could theoretically just, I don't know, run a script to fine-tune their core AI model overnight with all their new data?
Yeah. Just bake the knowledge directly into the brain.
Yeah. Why not just do that?
It's a super common misconception that fine-tuning is the solution here. But fine-tuning and retrieval serve completely different purposes.
Really? How so?
Well, fine-tuning alters the model's behavior and its style. It teaches the AI how to speak like your specific brand or how to format a certain type of legal document. But it is notoriously terrible for factual recall.
Oh, interesting. Because you're trying to change the overall wiring of the entire brain just to teach it, like, a single new fact.
Precisely. If you fine-tune a model on a new product catalog today, and then a price changes tomorrow,
you have to do the whole thing again.
You have to run that entire fine-tuning process again. It's incredibly inefficient. And it's highly prone to memory leakage, where the AI suddenly gets confused between the old price and the new price.
Oh, man. I can see how that would be a disaster.
Yeah. Arrayg, on the other hand, doesn't change the AI's internal wiring at all. It just hands the AI a document with today's date and today's price and basically says, use this.
Just read the paper I handed you.
Exactly.
Okay, so fine-tuning is out for factual recall. Makes sense. But I could still see an executive at a big firm listening to this and pointing to their existing infrastructure like, we already spent millions on an API strategy for our structured data. We can pull our quarterly sales numbers from our SQL database whenever we want.
Right, the classic, we already have a database argument.
Yeah. So if they already have that, why do they need an advanced retrieval pipeline?
Well, Burlinson explicitly calls this out as a massive trap. Relying on just an API strategy for structured data is essentially looking backward.
Because it's too rigid.
Yeah. APIs that pull standard rows and columns from legacy databases, they will only ever produce good enough answers. They could tell you exactly what your sales were last quarter.
But good enough doesn't give you a competitive advantage, because it can't tell you why those sales dropped.
Exactly the issue. A structured database cannot correlate that dip in sales with, say, the subtle shift in customer sentiment that's buried inside 10,000 customer service chat transcripts.
Or like the frustrated tone in internal team emails, right?
Right. To get rich, uniquely accurate insights, you have to look beyond the neat rows and columns.
Which brings us to the real value of these pipelines and Burlinson's first major reason why they are absolutely mission critical. It's all about illuminating what he calls dark data.
Such a fantastic term for this. Dark data.
I love it.
Organizations are completely drowning in unstructured information. We're talking Word documents, PDF reports, messy slide decks, raw audio recordings of meetings.
Basically, data that simply does not fit into a spreadsheet.
Exactly. For most companies, this data just sits on servers, completely invisible and totally unusable to their analytical tools.
I really want you, the listener, to pause and think about your own shared drive at work for a second. Think about the sheer volume of dark data sitting there right now.
Oh, it's staggering.
The strategy memos from 3 years ago that went nowhere, the scribbled research notes, the raw meeting transcripts, all of that institutional knowledge is just a graveyard of ideas because no human has the time to read it all.
Right. But if a retrieval pipeline acts as a flashlight, turning that massive, unstructured mess into a searchable mathematical intelligence layer,
it changes everything.
It unlocks literally decades of sunk costs.
Okay.
You are finally getting a return on the millions of hours your employees spent generating that content in the first place.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so illuminating dark data makes the AI incredibly smart. But there's a much more urgent kind of existential reason companies have to get this right. And that brings us back to the clueless intern making things up.
Ah, yes. The hallucination problem.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting, especially for big corporations.
In the enterprise world, a hallucinating AI is a complete showstopper. I mean, if you are a financial institution or a healthcare provider and your AI system just invents a compliance regulation out of thin air.
Or creates a fictitious patient symptom.
Yes. The consequences are catastrophic.
It's a massive legal liability.
Unquestionably. In regulated industries, accuracy is the absolute floor. You cannot operate without it. And well-built retrieval pipelines dramatically reduce these hallucinations because they fundamentally change the task you are giving the AI.
How so?
You are no longer asking the model to guess based on its vast fuzzy pre-training,
yeah.
you are forcing the AI to base its answers strictly on the injected evidence from your secure vector database.
So it's basically the difference between giving a student a closed book exam versus an open book exam?
Exactly. The LLM alone is taking a closed book test. It might misremember a specific date or a really nuanced legal clause.
But the retrieval pipeline turns it into an open book test. It highlights the exact paragraph in your company's official policy and basically forces the AI to quote it directly.
That constraint is what provides the safety net. You constrain the AI's reality to your verified facts. And importantly, this is Burlinson's third pillar. That textbook needs to be completely up to date.
Right, the constant currency aspect. Because knowledge in a business environment is never static. Mm-hmm. New products launch, competitors pivot, regulations change constantly.
And as we established earlier with the whole fine-tuning debate, you aren't going to rewrite the entire textbook every time a single regulation changes.
You simply slip a new page into the binder.
Perfect analogy. With the retrieval pipeline, you do not have to touch the core language model at all. You just update the documents in your vector database.
It's so much more elegant.
It is. The pipeline allows the AI's knowledge to stay completely current without the massive computational expense of constantly retraining or fine-tuning those massive models.
So the pipeline is really doing all the heavy lifting. It illuminates the unstructured dark data. It acts as a guardrail against legal liabilities by forcing an open book test, and it keeps the AI's brain fresh on a budget.
That's the trifecta.
But Burlinson makes a pretty bold pivot in his article here. He doesn't just analyze the current state of RG. He predicts that these retrieval pipelines are evolving so rapidly that they will soon overshadow the actual AI models in terms of strategic importance.
Yeah, the evolution he maps out completely shifts how we need to think about interacting with machines going forward. He outlines three specific frontiers.
Let's go through them.
The first is that pipelines are becoming multimodal. Right now, when we say data, we almost instinctively mean text, right? We search for words.
Sure.
But modern pipelines are learning to seamlessly ingest and map charts, images, audio files, and even video footage.
Okay, to put that in perspective, if I ask an AI about the performance of a recent marketing campaign, a multimodal pipeline isn't just reading the text of the quarterly report.
No, not at all.
It's physically analyzing the visual trend line on a graph and simultaneously processing the audio files from a customer focus group to detect the tone of voice when people mention the product.
Exactly. It synthesizes information across entirely different sensory formats, the exact same way a human analyst would.
That is incredible. Okay, what's the second frontier?
The second is that this ingestion process will become continuous. Rather than IT running, you know, a bash update every Friday night to upload new documents.
Oh, I hate those.
Right. Everyone does. Instead of that, the pipeline will update the AI's multidimensional map in real time. The exact millisecond a new video or PDF drops anywhere on the company network, it's mapped.
So the knowledge is always perfectly fluid. Okay, but the third frontier is the one that really alters the dynamic, I think. Burlinson argues these pipelines are going to become agentic.
Yeah. This is the biggest leap. This is the leap from a reactive system to a proactive one.
Explain that difference.
Well, currently, an AI system waits for a human. It sits idle until you type a prompt, and only then does the pipeline go fetch the data. But an agentic pipeline operates continuously in the background.
Just always on.
Always on. It will proactively search, filter, cross-reference, and validate information without ever being asked.
So think about the difference between a traditional search engine where you have to know exactly what question to ask to get a useful answer versus having a tireless, genius-level research assistant.
Right.
Imagine waking up, opening your laptop, and finding a brief already prepared for you because the agentic pipeline noticed a news article about a client's merger at 3:00 a.m., cross-referenced it with internal emails your team sent 2 years ago, and flagged a potential conflict of interest before you even poured your coffee.
It's a total paradigm shift. It changes the AI from a simple tool you pick up and use to an active collaborator that works alongside you, anticipating your needs based on the data environment.
Okay, so if that is the destination, multimodal, continuous, agentic pipelines acting as tireless collaborators, what is the bottleneck? Because why isn't every Fortune 500 company operating this way tomorrow? If I am a CEO trying to build an AI-first company, the software is largely available, isn't it?
If the software is available, yes. But the architecture is incredibly complex. And Burlinson offers a very sharp critique of current corporate strategy here.
What's the strategy gap?
Most firms are entirely focused on buying those shiny front-end AI applications. They want the flashy chat interface to show off to their board.
Right.
But they completely lack a cohesive strategy for how they are actually going to ingest, map, and secure all this messy, unstructured data.
So what does this all mean? They're buying the million-dollar sports car, but they haven't hired anyone to install the fuel lines.
Exactly. The real bottleneck is human capital. The most critical piece of this entire puzzle right now is finding and retaining elite data engineering teams.
Because it's not just plug and play.
Not at all. These are not just standard software developers. These are the engineers who understand the nuances of vector geometry, who know how to parse a poorly formatted 10-year-old PDF, and who can build a pipeline that won't just break when 1,000 employees query it simultaneously.
They are the ones who actually know where the bodies are buried, so to speak. They know the topology of the company's network.
They know exactly where the golden nuggets of enterprise data live, because the highly valuable insights rarely sit in a neatly labeled folder. They're buried in the chaos of the dark data.
Yeah.
And mapping that chaos requires human intuition, deep experience with legacy systems, and just brilliant engineering. Because the barrier to entry for building these robust multimodal pipelines is so high, Brillinson predicts that the engineers capable of designing them will be the absolute most sought-after talent of the next decade.
They are the architects of the 3D map. Without them, the AI is just a brain in a jar with nothing to think about.
Exactly. A very expensive brain in a jar.
Right. So to synthesize what we've uncovered today, AI, despite how magical it feels when it works perfectly, is fundamentally just a reflection of its data.
Yes.
If companies want to move beyond generic, good enough answers and completely eliminate the legal and reputational risks of hallucinations, they have to stop obsessing over the front-end model. The real magic happens in the retrieval pipelines, the geometric architecture that pulls rich, unstructured, multimodal data out of the dark and forces the AI to take an open book test.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the true arms race in technology today is no longer about who can train the largest language model.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, those models are rapidly becoming commoditized. The definitive competitive advantage belongs to the organizations that can master their data pipeline architecture.
Mm.
And the battle right now is a race to hire the engineers who can actually build it.
It all comes back to the fuel lines.
Always does.
But there is one specific implication of Brillinson's piece that I want to leave you, the listener, to mull over. We explored the concept of future pipelines becoming agentic, right? Proactively and tirelessly hunting through our systems, never waiting for a prompt.
Right. Always digging.
And we also discussed the vast ocean of dark data, the forgotten memos, the candid chat logs, the rough drafts we thought were lost on a server somewhere.
Yeah.
If an invisible, always-on AI pipeline starts actively scanning and correlating all our forgotten, unstructured files 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, how will that fundamentally change human behavior in the workplace? How will it change the way we store, share, or even attempt to hide information in the future?
It's a huge question.
When the AI is always digging, analyzing the tone of every old audio file, and cross-referencing every abandoned slide deck, what happens when it surfaces a golden nugget that we intentionally buried?
Wow. Yeah, that's something to think about.
It really is. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the unseen systems working behind the scenes. Look past the shiny paint jobs, and we will see you next time.